Lisa is 52. She moved into her new apartment last spring. New place, new start, life getting rebuilt after a divorce. And she moved every piece of furniture herself. Not because nobody offered. Two neighbors said they'd be glad to help. But Lisa looked at the couch, looked at the neighbors, and thought, "I don't want to be a burden." So she wrapped her arms around it and half-dragged, half-walked it through the hall, alone, at 9 in the evening, with her back telling her all about it the next day. "Lisa will give you the coat off her back." She brought soup to the sick neighbor two doors down before she'd even finished unpacking her own boxes. She'll drop everything for a friend in a rough patch and never say a word about it, but ask someone for help? She'd rather struggle quietly. To her, asking feels like admitting she failed at being the kind of person who doesn't need anyone. And that feeling is the thing this week is about. Because this week, the give is an ask. And that's going to take some explaining. Welcome to week 4. Before we get to the ask, let's take a breath and notice where we are. 3 weeks ago, you started this practice from zero. Week 1, you gave something small to someone you didn't have to. Week 2, you went a little further, something that actually cost you something, time, attention, effort. Week 3, you gave to someone you didn't expect to give to, someone maybe a little outside your easy circle. And every one of those things went into the jar, not your jar, the jar between you and the people around you. The one that belongs to all of you. So here's what's true right now, whether you feel it yet or not. That jar is not empty. 3 weeks of small gives have been going in, and something has started to shift in the shape of your relationships. Maybe somebody responded warmer than expected. Maybe a neighbor smiled a little differently. Maybe a conversation went a little deeper than it usually does. These things happen quietly. They don't announce themselves. But the jar is filling. And the give this week, the one that sometimes surprises people the most, is making room for something to come back the other way. Here's the idea at the center of this week, and it's the one that tends to hit people sideways the first time they really hear it. When you ask someone for something real and specific, you are not taking from them. You are giving them a chance to matter to you. Think about the people you love most. Think about your closest friend, your closest family, whoever it is, the people who are genuinely close to you. Now think about this. How do you know how close they are? You know, in part, because you've been there for each other. Because they've called you when something was hard and you showed up. Because you've called them when something was hard and they showed up. The ask is part of what made the closeness real. Most people are quietly walking around wanting to be needed, wanting to be the person someone trusts enough to call. Not trusted with secrets, necessarily, but trusted with a real moment, a real ask. When you don't ask, you're deciding for people that they're not close enough to be called on. And that decision, made quietly, repeatedly, by people who don't want to be a burden, is one of the main ways closeness slowly thins out. An ask isn't taking. It's an invitation. And an invitation is one of the most generous things one person can offer another. Let's go back to Lisa for a second, because here's what's actually happening in her relationships without her noticing. The jar between Lisa and her neighbors, her friends, the people she cares about, she keeps putting things in. Soup, rides, time, attention. But nothing ever comes back. Not because nobody wants to give to Lisa, but because Lisa keeps the lid on tight. She won't let anything land. So from the neighbor's point of view, it's a little strange. The neighbor says, "Let me help with the couch," and gets turned down. Tries again a few months later with something else, gets turned down again. After a while, the neighbor stops offering. Not because she doesn't care, but because she's learned that Lisa doesn't want her help. She's read the signal. And here's what that means for the jar. A jar that only goes one direction is just a well with better lighting. The give can only flow one way. Nobody can feel the warmth of being needed by Lisa because Lisa will not let herself be needed. It's generous in one way, and it quietly starves the relationship in another. A jar needs two hands, the one that gives and the one that opens to receive. Take away the second hand and the whole thing tips. Here's something worth knowing, because it surprised me when I looked into it. Researchers who study how people help each other and how friendships actually form have found something that cuts against everything we think we know about asking for help. We tend to think that asking for a favor makes us look needy, weak, maybe a little pathetic, and that the person we ask is going to think less of us for asking. But that's almost exactly backwards from what actually happens. When you ask someone for help and they say yes, they tend to like you more than they did before, not less, more. The act of helping you and doing it because you trusted them enough to ask actually makes them feel good about you and good about themselves. They feel chosen. They feel useful. They feel close to you in a way they didn't before the ask. And here's what else they found. People almost always say yes to a specific, concrete ask, much more often than the person asking ever expects. We sit and worry that the answer will be no, or that it'll be awkward, or that the person will be put out by being asked. And meanwhile, the person we're afraid to ask is genuinely glad we did. The fear of the ask is almost always worse than the ask itself. Now I want to sit with the real pushback here, because if you're like Lisa, you've already thought of it. It goes something like this. If asking for something makes the other person like me more, isn't that a little calculated? If I know the ask is going to warm the relationship and I make the ask on purpose, am I not just using the ask as a tool to get closer to people? And that feels a little slippery. I hear that. Here's the answer, and it matters. The reason asking warms a relationship isn't that you tricked anybody. It's that you were honest. You showed someone a real need. You trusted them enough to show up with something true about yourself, not a polished version of yourself that doesn't need anything. That kind of honesty is actually the give, and it's a real one. The thing that's being offered is you, for a moment, without the armor. A lot of people never get that from the people they care about. They get the capable version, the fine version, the one who always says, "I've got it." They never get the person who actually needs the hand with the couch. That version, the one who asks, is the one that lets people get truly close. So no, it's not manipulation. It's the opposite. It's the gap in your wall where the light gets in. Before we get to what Lisa actually does this week, we need to talk about what a real ask is. Because most people who decide to try asking for helps accidentally make fake asks and then wonder why nothing feels different. Here's the difference. A fake ask sounds like this: "Let me know if you're ever free and want to grab coffee sometime." That sounds like an ask. It's not. It's an open-ended invitation with a yes already embedded. Sometime means never, and both of you know it. It asks nothing of the other person. There's no real yes to give. A real ask has three things. It's specific, not some help, but help carrying the boxes out of the storage room. It's timed, not when you get a chance, but this Saturday morning if you're free. And it's actually askable, something the other person could actually say yes to without rearranging their whole life. That's a real ask. It puts something real into the jar, a specific need, a real moment, a genuine chance for the other person to show up. And here's the thing about a real ask that surprises people. It's much easier to say yes to a specific ask than a vague one. A specific ask gives someone a clear thing to grab. Vague asks put the work on the other person to figure out what you actually need. And most people, even people who want to help, back away from that. So here's what actually happens with Lisa. It's been 3 weeks of this practice. She gave soup to the neighbor two doors down, the one who had the bad flu. And the neighbor has been quieter ever since, in a warm way, like something shifted. This week, Lisa's got a heavy box she needs to get down from the storage shelf. Nothing dramatic, just a thing she can't quite reach safely on her own. And this time, instead of climbing up there with a seat and a prayer, she walks two doors down and knocks. "Hey, do you have 5 minutes to help me reach something in storage? It's up too high and I don't want to fall." That's it. That's the whole ask. It's specific. It's timed right now. It's a real thing the neighbor can actually do. The neighbor says yes immediately, and something small but real clicks shut between them. The neighbor feels trusted. Lisa feels, well, a little embarrassed, for about 30 seconds, and then something else, lighter. Like she let something down she'd been carrying longer than just 3 weeks. She walks back into her apartment, and it feels a little less like starting over and a little more like having a neighbor. That's what one real ask can do. Not magic, just the jar working the way it's supposed to, both ways. Let me say one more thing about why this belongs in a give first practice. Because it might still feel a little sideways to call an ask a give. We've spent 3 weeks talking about putting things into the jar. Your time, your attention, a specific thing you offered or noticed or did for someone. And this week, the instruction is to receive. So what's the give? Here's the give. When you let someone help you, you hand them something they wanted, the experience of being useful to you, of being the person you called, of being someone you trust. That is a real gift. You made them matter. And that's what's been missing from Lisa's relationships. Not her generosity, which was always there, but her willingness to let that generosity flow the other direction. She's been giving beautifully in one direction and quietly locking people out of the other. The ask opens the door. It says, "You matter enough that I came to you. I trust you with a real thing. I need you." For a lot of people, that's the thing they've been waiting to hear from someone they care about. So yes, an ask is a give. One of the quieter ones. One of the more honest ones. And sometimes the one that matters most. All right, let's bring this to you, because the whole thing stops being interesting the second it's only Lisa's story. Let me ask you three questions, and actually take a breath between them. First, where in your life are you not letting people in? Where have you been carrying something alone that someone near you would be glad to help with, and you've been deciding for them that they'd rather not be bothered? It might be your family, a close friend, someone at work you like. Be honest with yourself. Second, who in your life is there? Not who you wish were around, but who is actually near you right now. Your real people, your actual circle, the ones who would answer the phone. Take a second and picture them. Most people have more in that circle than they let themselves count. And third, what's one small, real, specific thing you could actually use this week? The kind of thing that takes someone an hour at most, that they could actually say yes to. Not a big favor, not something they'd have to rearrange anything for. Something true, something real, something you actually need. Hold that thing. That's where this week starts. So here's your give for week 4, one real ask, and it goes like this. Step 1, think of who's actually near you. Not who you wish were closer, or who used to be around, who's actually there right now. Take 1 minute and count them. You'll probably have more than you expect. Step 2, name one small, specific thing you could actually use this week. Keep it genuinely small. Something a person can say yes to without blinking. A hand with a box. A recipe you've been trying to remember. Company on a walk. You keep taking alone, someone to look at a thing you're not sure about. A ride, an opinion, 15 minutes, something true, Step 3, ask one person for it, not whenever you're free sometimes. Give them the real ask. Specific, timed, honestly what you need, and say it out loud or in a real message this week, not as a test. Not to check whether they'll come through, just as a give the give of letting someone be needed by you. That's the whole thing. One real ask to one real person this week, and notice what happens. 4 weeks in. And the practice has taken you somewhere real, from giving something small, to giving something that costs, to giving to someone unexpected, to doing the one that felt the hardest for people like Lisa, letting someone give to you. That's the shape of the jar. That's what makes it work. Not one person pouring everything out, but a whole circle of people who give and receive and keep the flow going. You don't run out of something that everyone is filling. And now, you've let yourself be one of the things getting filled. One more week next time, and it's the closest one to home. The bond that's easiest to take for granted, and what it looks like to invest in it on purpose. It's a good one. I'll see you there. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.